Thursday afternoon, and once again, the owners of this multi-billion dollar broadcast operation have foolishly placed its control into the unstable hand of Paul Marshall. Welcome to K-News Afternoon. I am the lovely and talented Paul Marshall, and I am your guest host for now until 6 o'clock, and with any luck tomorrow as well, as I welcome you to a Thursday afternoon. It is 3:06, and you are listening to K-News Radio, FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250. It is the Desert's News Talk Superstation. I will tell you that I'm having a tough time working this afternoon, because my geek is on. Today is the first day of football season. Oh, I loves me some football. Love football. The National Football League. Look, it's our pastime. And for all of those people that have their favorite thing, you know, maybe perhaps you like Lost, or maybe you're one of those people that with heroes that had a map on the wall and you were trying to figure out which hero was going where and how the plot went. Maybe you're into 24 and you follow Jack Bauer's exploits. Me, I am, and always will be, a diehard Oakland Raiders football fan. You may hold your booze appropriately. So today is a big day for the geeks, for the football geeks. And I know there are people in your office that were talking about it. And I know that you've got friends in the emails, and maybe you're a Chargers fan. Maybe you love, what's going on down there, and you're glad that LaDainian is gone. But this is a day. This is a big day, to the point where several networks, not the least of which is ESPN, are spending somewhere in the area of 8, 10, 12 hours covering this. And it's a geek fest. It's a meat market. It means nothing. It's the ultimate in stupid reality TV. But I'm hooked. Not going to lie to you. I am hooked. Love it. Love football season. I know it's tough to start thinking about football in the middle of April, but that's why it's going to be difficult for me to work today. And in a related story, what the hell's going on with Ben Roethlisberger? Are you aware of this story? Or as we like to call him now, Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. A couple days ago, judgment came down from Roger Goodell. He's going to be suspended for the first six games of the NFL season. This is not a sports program, but it's sort of an intersection of sports and real life. Ben is an idiot. He is one of those guys that had the world handed to him on a silver platter and has managed to muck it up over and over and over again. 3 or 4 years ago, he gets in a motorcycle accident. He's a multimillionaire quarterback of an NFL football team, gets in a motorcycle accident because he's irresponsible, doesn't put a helmet on, goes over the handlebars of his little rice rocket, boom, smashes his head against the ground, gets a concussion, almost screws up his life and his career. Then he allegedly sexually assaults an employee of a Nevada casino. Allegedly. Charges don't seem like they're going to stick. So, no charges filed. Then this past year, this past off season, he's at a club, underage girl drinking, feeding her in the VIP club. Underage girl, that's a crime, feeding a minor alcohol or somebody that's not of age because she was 20. Allegedly goes into a bathroom with her and some shenanigans ensue. She claims it was a sexual assault. He claims it was consensual. And there's a huge cover-up, and people have covered for him. Now there's another story out of Georgia. This is a third. This guy is Teflon. Somebody get him, you know, a job in spying in the government. He's Teflon. He's almost a Kennedy. So his deal is that the district attorney in Georgia, wherever the little town is in Georgia these charges were allegedly brought up. And no charges have been filed, by the way. It needs to be said that he is still innocent until proven guilty. However, if it walks and talks and quacks and floats, it must be a duck. Ben Roethlisberger is an idiot. And the bigger issue there is how we celebrate the misery of others. There's two sides to this again. And as you know, if you've listened to me on the radio, you know, I like to look at several different angles of every subject, because my purpose is not to solve the problem. My purpose is to get you to at least ask some questions, as the kids say. It's important for us to at least look at things and wonder why. I think questions are great. We should never stop asking questions. We'll never get the answers until we ask the question. And there's nothing wrong with asking any questions. So I have a couple of questions. Why is it that celebrities get all the breaks? How can Robert Downey Jr., how does that guy get X amount of chances? How does the Stone Temple Pilots lead singer, what's his name, Scott Weiland, how does he get chance after chance after chance after chance? Why do our celebrities get chances to engage in three separate instances of alleged sexual assault? And the worst thing that's happening to him is he's going to miss six games. How do we deal with that? How do we accept that? Yesterday we saw the story about Heather Locklear, right? The hit and run, her defense, you know, attorney. Oh, we don't know who was driving the car. Come on. If that were you or me, cuffed, booked. Unbelievable. Everybody, so there's a double standard there, and we revel in that misery. We revel in the misery of others. We celebrate the violence in society. And I think you see where I'm going to go with this. A couple of different budget initiatives have been enacted upon. We're trying to save some money, and we're cutting from all areas of the budget. Education, safety, police, fire. And the question I have, the big question I have this afternoon is, on top of the double standard, why do celebrities get the double standard? Why do we revel in the misery of others? Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe in your community right now? Should you feel safe? Do you believe in the fire department and the police department? Both, by the way, socialist projects that we accept in the United States of America because they benefit us and because we don't really think about them. You know, your house is on fire. What do? You expect the fire department to show up. Well, who's paying for the fire department? We're all paying for the fire department. Isn't that socialism? Yes, it is. Well, guess what? Money's going away. So is the fire department. Palm Springs officials announced today they're going to close the jail and one of the five fire stations in an effort to save $7.7 million. There's a budget deficit right now in Palm Springs. 59 staff positions going to be cut. Employees are going to be laid off. Furloughs enforced. $18 million worth of deficits over the past 2 years. And what's going to happen? They're going to close the Palm Springs jail. You know what that means? Well, those officers that were originally assigned to the Palm Springs jail now are going to have to drive to Indio. Spend more gas. Pollute more air. Go to Indio to book people into jail. That's going to take them out of the Palm Springs area. That means that there are less officers that are going to make your community safe. Firefighters at Station 5, which is on Bolero Road, they're going to be relocated to other stations. So if you live near Bolero Road or near where the area that was covered by Station number 5, you are not safe anymore. You are less safe. Let me put it that way. You are less safe than you were this morning or yesterday. So do you feel safe? Knowing that we are in a society that glorifies and celebrates and accepts the misery and violence in our communities. Do you feel safe? I don't know if you should. We're cutting money from the health budgets too. Oh, by the way, I need to bring this up too. Desert Sands Unified School District, apparently they found TB, tuberculosis. Really? It's 2010. How often do we see tuberculosis? It's not even something I think about. I get up in the morning, oh my God, tuberculosis. You know, I get a little bit of a cough. I don't think, I got the black lung. The Colonel Mitchell Page Middle School campus, apparently there was a case there where somebody tested positive for TB. And the Riverside County Department of Public Health is now basically sending out messages to anybody that may have come in contact with this person. I cannot identify the person because of privacy laws. The school, the health department, nobody's going to tell us here at KNews who tested positive, and that's fine. You don't want to tell anybody that, although it is a potential public health problem. Riverside County Department of Public Health is making sure that everybody is notified and that anybody that's been come in contact with this person, they don't know if it was a student or a faculty member, in any event, they're going to be doing TB skin test clinics from 8 to 10 o'clock. You should probably know this. On Monday at the Desert Sands Unified School District, keep tuned to KNews for more information on that. And don't worry that it's like if you were in the school and for 2 seconds that you may have contracted the disease. That's not the case. You can only get it if you're close to somebody. And as I say this, my throat is starting to dry up. Excuse me 1 second. So The school hasn't had to do any special cleaning because, again, it's not one of those things that, like, if you touch a doorknob, you're going to get TB. You got to be in close contact with somebody, all right? And it doesn't stay in the air. It doesn't collect on services. So if you have a student over there at the Colonel Mitchell Page Middle School, don't worry about that, all right? But they are going to be having some TB testing. So that's another thing I wanted to tell you, just in case you're listening in that area. And that's something that you're concerned about. But the bigger issue, as I mentioned, was the safety and feeling safe in your neighborhood and the violence that we accept and how all of that sort of ties into our communities. And we need to talk about it. And I invite you to take part in the program this afternoon. 760-416-8475. 888-589-6397. There's a lot more to get to. It's K-News Radio, FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Welcome back to K-News Afternoons, FM 94.3. Excuse me, I apologize. FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140. And 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. A little bit of the allergies. I know. We all have it. It's the dust we sniff in that is minorly irritating. But if we decided we wanted to take a pharmaceutical product, we could end up with a cerebral brain hemorrhage. So I'll deal with the scruffy throat. And I apologize for the scruff this afternoon. 760-416-8475. My name is Paul Marshall, and thank you for listening to K-News Afternoons. Now, what we're talking about this afternoon is I started off talking about the fact that I love the NFL. I love the football. I love the draft. But, you know, celebrities get double standards and people go out and do their things and we revel in that misery and we revel in the violence and we accept the violence and we accept sort of the turmoil that's going on in our lives. We just accept it. There's a certain amount of discomfort that we allow. Like nobody seems to be irate about this Ben Roethlisberger thing. And it seems to be, you know, we look at it when it happens in the NFL. We look at some of these players and superstars that do stupid things. They get caught with guns or perpetrate violence. And we just kind of go, and we sort of accept it. But if that happened in our neighborhood, if Ben Roethlisberger lived in your neighborhood and he allegedly or at least got involved in some shenanigans that would bring up some charges of misconduct of a sexual nature, you'd be pissed. I've been doing radio for 25 years. I had a listener call me once when I was on the air in Kansas City, Missouri, and he called me and said that, you know, he found out that one of his neighbors had touched his daughter in an inappropriate manner. And he said, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, you call the police." He goes, "I'm thinking I'm going to go get my gun and shoot him." And I thought to myself, we have become hair triggered when it comes to enacting violence on each other. Do you feel safe in your neighborhood? Do you think that your neighborhood is safe? Budget cuts that I mentioned yesterday are affecting education in the summer school programs are also affecting law enforcement and the ability to keep neighborhoods safe. And again, Palm Springs officials are closing closing the jail and a fire station. Station 5 is going away. Palm Springs jail shutting down. That means Palm Springs officers going somewhere else to serve. That means your neighborhood is a little weird. Your neighborhood is a little less safe today than it was yesterday. Because we just found out about that. And we also found out that a 12-year-old student brought a semi-automatic handgun to the Westside Elementary School. How do you feel about that, Thermal? You good about that? You good with a 12-year-old bringing a semi-automatic handgun to school? I went to school, I carried a buck knife. I didn't carry a buck knife because I was going to stab somebody. I carried a buck knife because everybody carried a buck knife. It seemed like, you know, it was like having a trapper keeper. Everybody had one. So you had a buck knife. And what did you use the buck knife for? You picked the dirt out from underneath your skin or whatever you did, or you carved your initials into the desk. Big difference between carrying a buck knife and a semi-automatic handgun. Sheriff Deputy Herlinda Valenzuela reports that the 12-year-old has been detained. There are no reports of injuries, and it's unknown if the student threatened anybody at the school. But just the fact that they brought a gun, a minor in possession of a handgun, that scares the hell out of me. Not because I'm afraid of guns, and I'm well documented, and I'll restate my position on this. I support the Second Amendment. I support gun ownership, responsible legal gun ownership. I believe that kid's parents should be charged for allowing him access, if it turns out it's his parents' weapon, for allowing him unrestricted access to a weapon. And this all starts to become an even bigger problem when you find out that Riverside County's Board of Supervisors are thinking about increasing the rates charged to cities and other entities who are using the Sheriff's Department for law enforcement. Riverside County Sheriff's Department fees are going up, retroactive to July 1st, 2009. And apparently they have to do it because it costs more to provide law enforcement, to keep you safe. Which begs the question, if I have a gun, I feel safe. Let's talk about guns this afternoon. Let's talk about guns. Almost sounds like it's that song. Was that that Let's Talk About Sex song? Let's talk about guns, baby. Look, I'm not a gun nut. In fact, I should probably get the legal part out of the way now.
The following undersigned hereby and unequivocally offer the following apology. Understanding and agreeing that heretofore and for all of perpetuity, Paul Marshall hereby apologizes to...
Everyone?
For offending...
Everybody.
On the topic of...
Well, everything I talk about. Jokes, you know?
This statement of sorrow hereby holds Mr. Marshall and his partners, family members, affiliate stations, associates, and acquaintances harmless and not liable for any and all moments of grief, including... but not limited to the topic of
everything that comes out of my mouth,
and shall include all actions that may in any way cause repercussions of a negative nature to be bestowed by the entity that is the Paul Marshall Radio Program. We now return to the
thing I'll have to apologize for again tomorrow,
already in progress.
I make no apologies for my position on this, and I'll tell you why. Because I support gun ownership, I support legal gun ownership, I support responsible gun ownership, and I absolutely oppose what's going on in Sacramento right now. California lawmakers up in Sacramento have decided that it would be a good idea to make it illegal to openly carry a gun in public. That seems to be in direct contradiction to the Second Amendment. I'm not a Second Amendment expert. I'm not a lawyer, but I invite a lawyer or an expert or an NRA member to give us a call and to take part in the discussion this afternoon, because I'd like to know your position on this thing. 760-416-8475, toll free. 888-589-6397. Apparently, up in Sacramento, Democrat Nancy Skinner out of Berkeley, of course it's Berkeley, if it's a protest, if they're unhappy, if they're trying to make everything hunky-dory and calm, Nancy says, and I quote, "I think it puts everybody at great risk." Excuse me? An unloaded firearm in a holster puts everybody at great risk? Why is that, Ms. Skinner? Why is that the case? Current California law allows us to carry a gun or a rifle in a holster or in public if it's unloaded, an unloaded weapon. Now, anybody that has ever gone through gun training also goes through the process, the training process of how to quickly load their weapon. So if you're sitting in, you know, Sbarro's or you're at Ralph's and you see somebody over at the meat counter and they've got a gun on their hip, more than likely it's unloaded. Even if it's loaded, it poses no threat to you. A responsible gun owner does not use their gun for aggressive purposes. A responsible gun owner uses their gun for defensive purposes. And now, with the police department, who I wholeheartedly support, cops do a horrible job. It's a very difficult job. It's a job they keep us safe. But I have learned through personal experience that the police department, although efficient, well-trained, noble, and deserving of our respect and every donut that they want to consume, the police department is unreliable. You cannot rely on the police department to keep your family safe. It goes back to my question earlier. Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe in your neighborhood? John and La Quinta, welcome to KNews Afternoons. Do you feel safe, John?
I do in my house.
Why is that?
Well, because I got a .45 in the drawer and a big old English Mastiff in the living room.
Absolutely. And what is your philosophy on owning your gun? Why do you own a gun in your home?
Because my neighbor's house has been broken into and the sheriff's department was backed up and they didn't show up there for about 2 hours. So that's my philosophy.
Right. So if your family is in danger, You're going to call the sheriff's department. We're all going to call the sheriff's department. But if your family's in danger and you need to save your family, what are you going to do?
If it's me or them, hey, they're the ones they're going to pick up.
All right.
It's going to be me.
So how do you feel about Sacramento saying that we're not going to be allowed to carry guns, open carry?
Oh, it's crazy. You know, it used to be you used to be able to carry it open carry like you can in Arizona. Then they changed it, so now it's got to be unloaded.
Arizona went even further. I'll tell you what Arizona did. Arizona,
you don't even need a permit anymore.
Arizona, Governor Jan Brewer just signed into law the ability to carry a gun in Arizona, a concealed weapon, without even obtaining a permit. The Wild West is alive and well in Arizona. You know Nevada has loose gun laws. And here in California, a place where crime is rampant and where budget cuts are causing us to have to lose law enforcement facilities and law enforcement services, the costs are going up, which means that municipalities aren't going to be able to pay for protection. I love the police department. I'm sorry that we can't depend on them or can't rely on them to be there because they're so overloaded with work. You're listening to KNews FM 94.3, the desert's news talk superstation. Welcome back to KNews Afternoons. I'm Paul Marshall, your guest host du jour. Appreciate you listening. We are talking about safety in your neighborhood and how it pertains to what Sacramento is doing now in trying to restrict your right to carry a firearm. Now, I know that there are anti-gun people out there. I get it. And I'm not a gun nut. I'm not a pro-gun person. I would rather not have to own a gun. I have a story that will tell you why I need to own a gun coming up in just a couple. But I want to get to Mike in 29 Palms first. Mike, welcome to KNews Afternoons. How are you, man?
Hey, great. Hey, my understanding of why we have guns in this country is our founding fathers decided way back then that they wanted to have the civilian populace armed to defend themselves, not against mountain lions and bears and all that,
right,
but to defend themselves against the government.
Right.
And it seems like to me, if you go back through history, back when they used to throw slings and bows and arrows at each other, anytime a government feared the people, the first thing they would do was restrict gun ownership or
right,
weapon control or
right,
however that. So George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of them, they knew that we were going to have to defend ourselves, not against each other, but maybe against our own government at one time. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, and you're right, Mike, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Right now in Sacramento, Lori Saldana, Democrat out of San Diego, authored a bill that proclaims that unloaded guns pose a threat to the civilian population. Because apparently, the unloaded gun, guns don't kill people, bullets kill people. The unloaded gun apparently poses a threat to the civilian population because gun owners are allowed to carry ammunition and can load their weapons within seconds. That's right. That's the point of having a gun. You have a gun in case you need the gun. And if the Second Amendment was instituted to allow the civilian population to remain armed in the event that they needed to protect themselves from the government, well, right now, the government up in Sacramento is telling us, you can't carry your gun. And I believe we're going to have a problem. I think it's going to be, I imagine, were Charlton Heston still around? Is he still around? No, he's not. The NRA is absolutely going to have a great bitch about this, and they're entitled to that bitch. I would like to hear from the oppositionist. I want to hear people that are opposed to legal, responsible gun ownership. I want to hear why you believe that outlawing guns or restricting the rights of law-abiding American responsible citizens whose rights are guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States and the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms. I want to know why you believe that restricting legal gun ownership, responsible gun ownership, will make the United States of America safer. I want to know why. I'm going to ask you questions, and if you give me a legitimate argument that tells me that we should restrict gun ownership amongst law-abiding citizens, if you give me a legitimate argument, I'll side with you. But to me, I want to see both sides of the coin. I happen to be a trained, armed American citizen. That's none of your business, normally. But in this situation, I feel free to announce it. But legal, responsible gun owners, and I know there are many of you listening right now who will never call because you don't want people to know that you're armed. That's your right as an American to own guns. And I want to hear why you believe restricting the rights of Americans, responsible Americans, to own guns is a good idea. Because in 1997, I was living in Memphis, Tennessee. I was doing radio at a radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was doing nights. And traditionally, at night, you're on the air from 7 at night till midnight. We had some staffing changes at the radio station. My hours changed from 7 to midnight to 6 to 10. At the time, my wife and I were economically strapped. So we had one car. My wife would come and pick me up from work. So she picks me up from work. We go back home to the apartment complex that we live in Memphis, Tennessee. She goes to bed. I've got my headphones on. I'm in the computer room of my house, my office, listening to music, you know, screwing around on the internet, trying to avoid watching porn. And all of a sudden my wife comes in and she shakes me in the shoulder. She goes, "Hey, somebody's at the door." So I go, "All right, well, I'll go check on that." So I go to the door and there's just some inebriated guy trying to get in the house. I go, "All right, call the police." So my wife calls the police, calls the Memphis Police Department, tells them what's going on. "All right, we'll get a unit out there as soon as possible." Well, where I lived in Memphis, Tennessee was on the edge of Shelby County, Tennessee, in a little town right on the edge of a town called Bartlett, Tennessee, which is in Shelby County. Well, the jurisdiction for Shelby County is Shelby County Sheriff's Office, not Memphis, Tennessee Police Department. So I'm in sort of a no man's land area. So we also call the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. My wife is concerned for her safety and well-being. So Shelby County Sheriff's Department says we are not in their jurisdiction. It's a Memphis Police Department problem. Call them. Well, we happen to be off of I-40, not too far off of I-40, and I had some friends in the Tennessee State Police. So I make a phone call to the Tennessee State Police Department. It's close to midnight now. And Tennessee State Police has an answering machine. Their offices are closed. If it's an emergency, dial 911. All right, I get that. So we've now called three police departments. One of them says they'll send a unit out. The second one says this isn't our problem. And the third one has an answering machine. All the while, there's still a guy pushing at my door. We're trying to be patient. I'm trying to talk this guy down. 20, 25 minutes go by. No police. So my wife calls 911 a second time. The 911 operator says, "We got your call. We got your complaint. We're working on it as fast as we can." This is 25 minutes later. And berates my wife for calling 911 a second time in fear for her safety. At the time, the only weapon I had in the house was a beheading knife that I found as a kid in a courthouse yard. And when you're a kid, you hang on it. And I used to use that beheading knife to scratch my back. It was a cool, it was like, you know, like in that, like a gladiator movie. It's one of those big angled, looks like a boomerang, but it's a knife. Yeah. So I grabbed the phone from my wife, because at this point I'm slightly irritated. And I said to the woman, "Ma'am, you don't understand the situation. There is an intruder trying to gain entry into my domicile. I need a lawman here as soon as humanly possible. If this person gains entry into my domicile, I will kill him where he stands to protect my home." The 911 operator's response to me was, "I have you on tape telling me you're going to kill another human being." At that point, I pretty much popped the last remaining corpuscle that I had in my head and said, "Ma'am, you're missing the effing problem here. You're missing the point. I need a cop now." The 911 operator proceeded to hang up on me. All the while, this guy's still banging at my door. Now, turns out he's a drunk transient. I find out later after the fact. But what if? What if he's not? 45 minutes have gone by now. The banging at my door has stopped. However, I start to see the flash of the blue lights out in the courtyard, the parking lot area of the apartment complex. So I open my door and I walk out and I've got my hands out to the side because I can tell you right now, if you ever call the police and they show up at your house, it's very important to make sure your hands are visible. Do not approach a police officer on a call with any sort of urgency if they can't see your hands. So I've got my hands out to the side waiting, like I'm giving the signal in Team America World Police. One of the officers removed his sidearm, dropped into the Weaver stance, and gun owners know what I'm talking about, dropped into the Weaver stance, pointed at me, and said, sir, you need to take a step backwards. I looked at his partner and said, are you kidding me? I called you. Where the hell have you been? The officer, the senior officer, looked at the rookie officer, the younger officer, you know, like in the movie Colors, they put an old guy and a young guy together, and told him to go up the other end of the parking lot and find the guy, because apparently somebody else had called the police in the apartment complex. This guy was going to somebody else's door. So I say to the cop, where the hell have you been? He says, we are absolutely overloaded, understaffed and overloaded with cases. We are all over the place. We can't get to everybody at once. Just like a cab driver, we have to prioritize the calls. And we didn't think your call needed priority assistance. I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's impossible. Why is that? I said, well, what would you recommend I do? Police officer said to me, and I quote, if it were my family, I would have a shotgun in my house. I said, are you telling me I should have shot this guy? I said, no. What I'm telling you, the cop said, no, what I'm telling you is if it were my family, I would have a gun in the house. And if it came down to it, two to the chest, one to the head, and make sure that they are inside the door frame when it happens. I said, you got to be kidding me. He goes, look, I'm not telling you to shoot somebody. I'm not telling you to get a gun. I'm saying if it were my family and I were going to keep my family safe, I would have a gun in the house. The next day, I went and bought a shotgun, my first gun. I learned through trial and error. I learned through an unfortunate, thankfully, nobody was hurt. Thankfully, my wife was safe and I was safe in that instance. But what if? The police are unreliable. They're not inefficient. They're not bad at their job. But you cannot rely on the police to keep you safe anymore, especially with budget cuts and the amount of overwork that they have to go through. The cops do a thankless, horrible, terrible job. They keep us safe. And I trust the police implicitly, unequivocally. But I can't rely on the police to keep my family safe. Dave and La Quinta, I'm guessing you have an alternate viewpoint. Welcome to K-News.
No, the problem is there's too many Nancy Pelosi's in the world who are trying to take all our rights away from us. The reason they don't want you to own a gun is because, you know, they're taking every right you have away, and they're afraid you're going to use it on them. You know, people come and rob banks every day. People wouldn't rob banks if 10 people in that bank had a gun.
Absolutely. No, if you felt like there were consequences.
I was in La Quinta at a Circle K about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Or four. A young kid, he's about 20 years old, runs in with a shotgun and robs the place.
Oh.
And, you know, we'd come from a bar, a local bar, and we were in there when the guy just runs through the door with a shotgun to rob the place. If I had a gun, I'd have shot that guy right in the head.
Absolutely, and I have another story I can tell you about that in a couple of minutes, but you're right.
And the problem is that, I mean, they take every right you have. You can't even drive down the road without having your seatbelt on. Or, you know, and they're right there to give you a ticket for that.
Sure.
You know, we got every police officer working during the day, you know, because none of them want to work at night. So they work during the day, and then, you know, where's the guys at night? That's when all the crimes are happening.
Well, not anymore. Nowadays, you're hearing about people getting their houses broken into in the middle of the day because it's easier to do when no one's home, when you're at work trying to work your two jobs to pay your bills.
Well, the problem is the sheriffs are so busy with their radar gun, instead of walking, you know what they ought to do? They ought to take their cop cars away from them and make them walk up and down your neighborhood. First of all, they wouldn't be overweight eating donuts.
Well, now, come on now. We got to cut some break because we can rip on the police department all we want, but when the time comes and they're there and they save you and your family, they deserve those donuts and they deserve to be able to be comfortable. Let's face it. Most of the time, police officers, you know, for most of their job, they don't have to draw their service weapon unless they're on the range. But the one time they do have to draw the service weapon and keep the public safe, I'm good with that. I'm okay with the police department doing that.
But would they have to do that if everybody had a gun?
Well, you know, again, you're right. The citizens should be allowed to arm themselves. And right now in Sacramento, they're trying to take that right away. I appreciate the call. It is K-News, FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Coming up on 4 o'clock on K News, 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250. Online at knewsradio.com. It's Paul Marshall talking about, how safe and secure do you feel in your neighborhood right now? And of course, guns. You know, gun ownership, Second Amendment, all the things that come with it. We've got so many things to get to. I know Robert in Cathedral City has been waiting for a while. Robert, welcome to K News. I appreciate you holding.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Well, I'd like to start off with the old saying, remember, when seconds count, police are only minutes away.
Again, this is not in any way, I do not want this to come off like I am disparaging the police department.
No, the police department, not the case at all. I have high regard for. I think they're vastly underpaid for the job that they do. And if they want to cut anything in the California budget or the city budget, but they suggest they cut everything else but fire and police.
Well, exactly. Again, the first responsibility of a government is to keep its citizenry safe.
So my comment, and the reason I called is I spent 8 years in the military.
Okay.
The government spent tons of money training me on machine guns and sniper rifles and all kinds of assault rifles. I developed an admiration for them, respect for them. I collect them. Ever since I got out of service, which was a long time ago, I won't date myself. I take my family out, my kids out. My wife's a very good shot. And, the right to bear arms is protecting yourself from your community and problems in your community. It's to protect you from your government. And I agree with a caller a couple, two, three phone calls back, where the founders gave us that right to form citizen group militias and have arms to protect ourselves from them.
Yeah, which I thought was remarkably kind of them to do so. Wouldn't you think when you're establishing your new government or a new leadership, last thing you want to do is open yourself to the potential that your leadership is going to be questioned. And thankfully, the founding fathers went, look, we just fought for the right to be free, and we don't ever want to lose that right ever. And if we screw this job up, we should be held accountable for it.
Well, not only that, but every time they try to pass any kind of gun or ammunition legislation, it only affects law-abiding citizens. It's irrelevant to criminals.
Yeah, well, that's the point. And criminals are not following the established laws anyway, and they're going to get guns anyway. You've heard the phrase: if we outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns.
Well, if you just do a little quick Google and go back and look at all the nations in history and the government histories that have confiscated firearms, just do a little reading and find out what follows.
Yeah, and you know, and the funny thing about it is, how many times did we hear, well, you know, over in England, their police don't carry guns. They do now.
Well, not only that, branch of a tree and bash somebody over the head with it if you're a murderer. So
yeah.
What are they going to do, legislate trees?
And we can get into, the fact that some people are woefully uneducated on what a responsible gun owner's rights are and responsibilities. Again, I have said how many times on this radio station since I've been on, that freedom isn't free. Freedom, the cost of freedom is responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility. And as a gun owner, thank you for the call, by the way. As a gun owner, you have a responsibility to be trained, to be responsible to your weapon, to keep it locked up when you're not home or when it's not on your person, to restrict access to that weapon, because that weapon is an extension of you. If somebody is killed with your weapon, you killed somebody. That's how you're taught. That's what you're trained. And we'll get into some of that, I'm sure. Mark and Ransom Mirage, welcome to K News Afternoons.
Good afternoon. Further, I think people that take the responsibility of arming themselves should also have a standard operating procedure, as the guy before me from the military, you know, was talking about. I would suggest that people do drills in the dark so you know what you're doing.
Oh, you're supposed to.
Yeah, where's your safety on your gun? Can
yep.
you lock and load? I mean, yep. like, you know, every Marine's an infantry man. You ought to be able to take your rifle apart in the dark and put it back together if your life depends on it.
Your life but does depend on it.
You're darn right. And, you know, everywhere, we've been hearing this liberal argument about gun control ever since Robert Kennedy's assassination. And Robert Kennedy was not assassinated because Sirhan had easy access to guns. It was because he didn't like his stand on Israel. And the point is, they've been trying to tell us since the 60s that if we just take the guns away, that'll help the crime. Look at Washington, D.C., most restrictive gun laws in the country, one of the highest murder rates, Philadelphia, Detroit, every major city where they have gun control, they have high murder rates. But what's happening in Sacramento has a lot more to do than just trying to control us having firearms. It's controlling our behavior. That's what the liberal establishment wants to do. Through legislation, through fiat, through executive order, through brainwashing. They want to change the way people think, and they want to put into people's heads, guns are bad. Guns kill people. But just as you correctly said, behind every murder, there's someone pulling the trigger. The gun doesn't fire itself. Somebody fires it. I don't feel safe in my neighborhood.
If you're going to kill, you're going to kill. The gun makes it easier, don't get me wrong. But, you know, a gun's purpose is not to kill. If people think that guns' purposes are to kill, and it's not. A gun's purpose is to end the confrontation immediately.
I totally agree with you, and I personally feel more comfortable with a Marine Corps buoy because I know how to use it, and I can't accidentally misfire it into my neighbor's house. So if somebody comes into my house, they're coming to the wrong place. But do I feel safe walking around the streets here? No, you can't carry a firearm around here. The robberies, 10, 20, 30 years ago, this area, Rancho Mirage, very safe area. The crime is starting to encroach. Look at what's going on in the border. I mean, come on. The crime rate in California is incredible. And what's their answer? Take guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens.
And that's the thing, is that law-abiding citizens and responsible gun owners know that they have to go through training. And look, it's not like anybody can just go and buy a gun. Although, I did go and buy my shotgun with about 10 minutes worth of paperwork. You fill out a piece of paper, it says, hey, this is who I am, this is where I live, and again, once that paperwork is filed, the government knows you have the gun. All right? And in every municipality that you move to, you're supposed to register that gun. I get that part. All right, but it took me 15 minutes to get an instrument of death. And not only that, but the gun clerk told me how to remove the dowel out of my pigeon rifle, my shotgun, because the shotgun that I bought has a tube with a five shell reserve, but there's a dowel put in there so that you only have three
shells. Right, I'm familiar with that.
So that you're supposed to be, it's supposed to be like it's a gun rifle, like a pheasant rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was instructed on how to remove that dowel. Now, on that front, I'm not real thrilled. I'm not real thrilled that it's that easy for somebody to get a shotgun. You can go to Walmart and pick up a shotgun. Do I think that access to a firearm, and thank you for the call, by the way, do I think that access to a firearm should be limited? Yeah. I think you should have to jump through a bunch of hoops. But I think if you're a law-abiding citizen and you do jump through those hoops, you should have the right to carry a gun. We'll get more into this. Bonnie Gilgallon's got your update. You're listening to K-News Radio. It's FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250. The Desert's News Talk Superstation.